Hello.
How's it going? This is us again.
This is Male Gaze.
Yes, to be more specific. I'm Scott.
I'm Jake.
And I have pink eye this week.
And I don't.
Which hopefully will not change.
Yeah, that's true. We were recording in a small closet, so...
And I'm trying my best to not touch Jake at all.
Okay.
But...
I think we'll be fine.
I think we will be fine.
Cool.
So, yeah, we just wanted to record our weekly episode for you all and, like, talk about what we've seen. Specifically some bigger movies that have come out, like Captain Marvel. I'm sure plenty of you have seen that movie.
I know. Do we want to build up to it or start big?
Let's build up to it. Let's go. Let's talk about some other things we've seen, and then let's get into that later.
Okay. I've been watching the new season of a show that I have no idea if you've seen. Have you ever watched Better Things on FX?
No, but I've heard it's really good with Pamela Adlon, right?
Yeah. I adore her. Better Things is like, if anyone... It's like the type of show where I would not fight anyone who told me it's the most boring show they've ever seen because I would understand what they mean.
Sure.
Because it's so anticlimactic. It's so, like, day-to-day life. Some episodes feel like they don't even have an actual plot. It's just, like, her going around doing things. But it's so entertaining, and it's funny, and it's heartfelt. And I love that realism. I think it's refreshing. Just any movie or TV show that, like, dares to deviate from the standard plot structure and just be like, well, what if we show this, like, thing that people wouldn't care about normally? Just as an experiment, kind of. And, I don't know. I really enjoy it. So, it's back. I'm guessing it'll be its last season. But she's doing all of it this time. Louis C.K. used to play a big part in it, but now he does not.
Understandably.
Yeah. His name's still in the credits, but... Yeah. Because he created... it with her, so I guess they have to.
Have I told you about how I read Amy Poehler's book, Yes, Please?
You haven't told me about it, but I've read it too.
Read it too. Isn't it kind of awkward in retrospect how often she sings the praises of Louis C.K.
Yeah, it is.
Every time I hear it, and it's so earnest back then because it was before the allegations came out. I'm just like, wait a few years.
Yeah. I haven't watched much of his stand-up, but I understand that now so much of it feels really uncomfortable and awkward.
Which is kind of sucky for him because that was the whole brand he built for himself. But the fact that he actually extended that brand out into, like, reality is what is its own fault. I don't feel bad for him.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, Better Things. It's great if you're open to, like, weird television.
Shoegaze comedy.
Sure. Is that the term for it?
Well, shoegaze is just, like, the kind of music that, like, Lana Del Rey makes. Like, just, like, not a lot happens.
Okay, then yes, exactly. It's totally that. Have you been watching any TV? I guess we can stay on TV topic if you have any TV.
I haven't been watching as much TV lately. I've been so caught up in movies because of my Letterboxd app. I'm so much enjoying that I can keep logging movies and find out who, like, the most frequently I've seen actor or actress I've seen or whatever else can be brought up for all those stats on the app. But, anyway, yeah, so I haven't really caught up on TV. I haven't even finished True Detective yet.
Me neither.
Okay.
Maybe it's a sign that it just didn't get us this season.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It could also just be the fact that I also have been in this weird limbo because I don't know whether to wait to watch it with my roommate or just to watch it on my own.
Classic.
Yeah, and so I'm like, should I wait for him to be wanting to watch it or should I just go ahead and watch it and then talk about it with him later? Will he be mad? I could just talk to him about it. That's probably the easiest solution.
But why? Why directly communicate when you can instead...
wander around 1,000 different options and pick one
exactly.
That isn't actually the right option, which is what I usually do.
Okay, so any movies that have stood out to you lately then?
Yeah, so for me, I've seen quite a few of them lately. I've seen, we talked about Captain Marvel, we'll come to that too, but I think some of the more impressionable ones that I've seen this last week or so, I finally watched Mandy.
Oh, I saw that you liked it.
Yeah,
it was
super good.
You liked it just like I did.
Yes, indeed. I don't know if you guys have access to Shudder. It's a cool little add-on feature.
Oh,
on
is
Amazon
it on there?
Prime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's how I watched it. And then it's just like a more horror thriller-focused TV show and movie, like, channel of Amazon Prime. It's only for an extra, like, $4 a month. Totally worth it if you love that kind of stuff because it has a lot of B-movie horror on there for sure, but it's got a lot of classics.
Yeah. No, I got the free trial once and I was like... this is pretty good. And there's so much stuff I haven't heard of, which with horror maybe isn't always...
Yeah, and that's not always a reliable
best,
thing.
But it still has
plenty that's like... it has the original Halloween and the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay. What else do you need?
Yeah. I mean,
you need
really
more than that, but...
I mean, at the same time, it's kind of cool that those are, like, being, like, some of the most iconic horror movies ever to be made in, like, the U.S. that they made it.
Yeah, and that it's on this tiny little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, fan of Mandy.
Yes. Really liked the visuals of it. I really liked how the story at its core was just really basic, about a bunch of creepy cultists trying to kidnap and immolate this woman in the name of, like, creativity or whatever bullshit they were pandering.
Yeah. There were so few plot points in that movie.
Yeah. And the thing is, the reason that movie worked so well, even though it's over 2 hours technically, is just the sheer carnage of it and the sheer visual, like, trauma that you're witnessing, which is, like, not to say, like, it's bad, but, like, it's just an onslaught of visuals.
Visual trauma. Such a good description of Mandy.
It's, like, so gory, and it's really, and, like, I swear the guy that directed it must have made up his name, because his name is too perfect for the kind of stuff he makes.
What is it?
Panos Cosmatos, like Cosmos, almost.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, his name almost sounds like the kind of, like, ethereal space, like, LSD shrooms trip that
sounds like a stage name almost, but I mean whatever
it might be his real name. I didn't look a lot into it, but that's the name he put down as the directing credit. And if that is his real name, then you're one of those people that got lucky, and your style also happens to match your name, so, like, you're a superhero.
He is cool. I haven't really watched movies that I've been since last time, really. I mean, except a couple snooty ones, like Triplets of Belleville, which is this, like, French animated movie from 2003.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And Killer of Sheep has been my work movie this week, which is, like, this, similar to Better Things, super, it's like a neo-realist movie from the 70s, so it's, like, super, nothing happens, but,
Right.
Anyway.
Some other movies that I've seen that I really enjoyed, if there's not much that you want to talk about.
No, I'm good on movies until Captain Marvel, so.
Broadcast News. I don't know if you ever heard of that one from the 80s.
I'm pretty sure I technically watched it as part of a journalism class at some point, but definitely was mentally out that day, so haven't really seen it.
Well, it's on Stars, if you have access to that, and it is super, super good. It's really just the story about three people in, like, a love triangle at its core, but the news just kind of cross-cuts their ways of knowing each other. And just, like, the news is the background story to its own story, which is kind of the irony of the movie.
Okay.
But it's super well made. It's by the same person that made As Good As It Gets and Terms of Endearment.
Okay.
And so he won a bunch of Oscars for those movies, and his actors, and honestly, it was that this movie was shut out at the Oscars in 1987, but at the same time, Holly Hunter, who gives a phenomenal performance in this movie, I cannot stress that enough. She just, like, feels like the most real person you've ever seen, while also not feeling like someone you've ever met before. Like, she feels like a real-life Leslie Knope. That's a better way of putting it in the movie.
That sounds amazing.
Like, someone that's a lot more realistic than Leslie Knope is.
Right.
Leslie's a little bit overly idealistic and obviously a comedy character, and whereas Broadcast News is a comedy, it's not a comedy, it's like a dramedy.
Sure.
So, it's not going to have as many riotously, like, out-loud funny moments like Parks and Rec does. But, anyway, I digress by saying that it is available on Stars. It's really, really good. It's by a very well-respected director and team that put the movie together, and it takes a really uninteresting backdrop, in my opinion. Like, who would think of the day-to-day, like, drama at, like, a newsroom would be interesting, but then you think about it, and there's lots of shows out there that kind of take places in,
like,
a newsroom.
The Newsroom.
Like, The Newsroom by Aaron Sorkin, or even The West Wing takes a lot of, like place in, like, those kind of press rooms. So, yeah, I guess that is, like, a genre out there that's, like, really popular, but, like, it's one of those movies that takes that it's not like the movie Network, for example, that came out in the 70s that really focused a lot on the politics of TV at the time, but it makes it more about the people at its core in this movie, so.
Right. Something I thought of we could mention real quick is that South by Southwest has been happening, so.
Right.
Us reviews are out, and they're pretty stellar.
Yeah, that it's really, really good, which I'm excited about.
Also, Olivia Wilde's directorial debut premiered there, and reviews for that came out today, and it's, like, crazy good.
Is it? I haven't checked the reviews that have come out since.
But. Yeah, it's called, what is it called? Booksmart.
Right. Oh, with Beanie Feldstein, right?
Yes. Is she the one that's the friend in Lady Bird?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And then the other girl I recognize, but I don't know where from. You haven't by chance watched the trailer, have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was hysterical, and, like, I cannot wait for that movie to come out. So, that's on the way.
Oh, exciting.
And What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, premiered there as well to pretty great reviews.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Good to know. I forgot that they do that for TV.
Yeah, they're starting it this month, so. Any other things before...
One more quick one that I wanted to bring up is that another movie that just recently came out that was really well made and that I enjoyed was Fighting With My Family.
Oh, that's right.
It was something that I saw on kind of like a whim with my friend, my roommate, actually, and we didn't have any real reason to want to see this movie. Plus, I've had a very vested anti-interest in the WWE since I was younger because my brother was so obsessed with it that I almost took an active, like, anti-interest in it to, like, spite his, like, overly enthusiastic interest in it that I never shared. But now that I've watched this movie, and honestly, like, ever having, like, kind of empathized with it a lot, I totally can see where my brother's coming from as to why he loves the WWE. Like, it really is, at its core, just very, very athletic storytelling. Like, it's, like, basically, like, its own version of a soap opera that runs on and on and on and on for years and years. It's been going on since, like, the 70s or 80s, at least. Maybe before that. And these guys get these like kids and adults even get attached to these characters and the stories they have behind them, but like you think of them like the way I would always think of them before having seen this, especially without the empathy that I gained by seeing it, was just like a joke, you know, like that and Glow.
Right.
This year, and like watching both that and Glow this year have been like really helpful for me to be like, yeah, like this is a form of real storytelling. Like, people use this to as a way to cope. Like, this is the soap opera for people that think soap operas are dumb.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think soap operas are dumb, and I still wouldn't say I'm a big WWE fan now, but I also don't think that, like, soap operas are as reviled or, like, terrible as, like, people like... I think that they're a staple in modern society, honestly. They're really important.
Sure. No, and it's nice to, like... gain an understanding of a particular world and be like, okay, I get this thing, even though it might not be for me, but like, it's nice to feel more educated about things like that. So good. Yeah, I've wanted to see that. It looked funny and good. So maybe I'll get to it. Should we hit the cap?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I mean, we've never really talked Marvel on here before. Maybe we can start with like where we each stand on the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm a fan enough to have seen every movie other than the, like, maybe one in, like, the whole lineup of MCU movies. And the only one I can think of that I can't remember having seen all the way through the end is Thor the Dark World. I've seen, like, half of it at the plasma clinic. So, like, I don't even know if I was fully paying attention.
Probably not.
Probably not. But anyway, I mean, the thing is, this movie is so ineffective at grasping you anyway.
Right. Okay, I've seen all of them except the first two Thors, so...
The first Thor was such a slog for me, too. I remember watching it and being like, why did people like this?
Yeah, I was glad that I just saw Ragnarok without previous impressions of Thor.
Ragnarok was on its own a high-quality movie. Like, you don't have to have seen the previous stuff. I mean, you kind of have to just for, like, the sake... If you want to know why Hulk is on the planet and stuff, and what the deal with, like, a lot of Thor's characteristics and, choices are now, that makes sense for why he would pick... Why you wouldn't, like... watch it immediately, but like it stands well on its own, honestly. Like, people could go watch it and they don't care at all about the MCU and have a good time because it's a funny and good movie.
Exactly.
Taika Waititi is so good.
Yeah. So I have kind of weird relationship with the Marvel movies because I like probably my most common rating for them is 4 stars, like pretty consistently. And but I think because they're so massively popular and people are so passionate about it, I like also have this sour feeling towards them a little bit, even though I generally like them and rate them positively. But I definitely think it's like there's a clear line for me where it's like this is purely for fun. Like, I've never been truly like emotionally invested in Marvel the way some people are.
The only one I've ever felt emotionally invested with was Black Panther.
I remember
watching at the very end of that movie and being like, whoa, like, this was an experience that they gave us. And, I mean, it's a testament to Ryan Coogler's direction, as well as the fact that the movie was just so different than anything else Marvel had ever put forward to us. It was deserving as the first picture, best picture nominee that was a superhero movie in that respect by Marvel like that.
Yeah, no, totally. Black Panther has style, which I love.
Yeah, and I love style in movies. In fact, I also rewatched Vice this week, which I gave a negative review initially, but I've actually kind of grown to like a little more now that I've understood its purpose.
Yeah.
I still hate the ending. I still think the ending is still too practice, like, well, it's still too, like, overly preachy. Not practice what you preachy, but overly preachy. But at the same time, and it's also, it feels like it's, like, slightly punching down, which is another reason to not like something. But, Yeah, and anyway, and this in the topic of revisiting things we once maybe didn't like.
Right. So, yeah, I was pissed about the ending of Infinity War just because it's like I've been more pissed about it with time that it like
it was basically just a big marketing play. Like,
yeah,
it makes the I gave that movie like a 3 or 3.5 star rating. I gave Captain Marvel 3 as well. Just we'll get there in a minute as to why, but you can if you follow me on Letterboxd, like I think one of you does, because I got a random new follower the other day that I have no idea who they are.
Ooh.
But anyway, if that's you, that's dope, man. Cool.
What up?
You like my reviews because they're really cool. No, they're not. But I forget what I was saying.
Infinity War ending marketing ploy.
It was just a big like commercial for the next movie, honestly.
Right, exactly. And so I've become increasingly bothered as people talk about, you know, how heart-wrenching Spider-Man's death was, when it's like
it's not
a death, it's just an ad, but it's fine. So like that's a negative for me, and then just kind of the repetition of
formula.
All of them overall, they're such a similar. I don't enjoy the visual style of Marvel movies, which is just generally
over CGI,
generic and green screeny, yeah. And but the positives are like they're usually funny to me. They're usually they're generally a good time, even if I get a little antsy by the end of them. And it's like, okay, this is usually headed to. They're just because there are so many of them, there aren't really original beats they can hit anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's like without going, you know, super wild directions. So usually it's very much, especially when it's an origin story, it's like okay. Yeah. So, Captain Marvel, to me, definitely did not break out of my usual reaction or expectations of a Marvel movie.
I mean, it was cool to watch the first Marvel version of fully fronted, like, which is a strange, bad phrasing, but a movie fronted completely by a woman.
Fully frontal.
Yeah, full frontal woman. No, that doesn't happen in this movie, trust me.
It doesn't.
But, yeah, like, to have this be, like, this I mean, this is an incremental, it's like, for a lot of girls, like, the first time they're seeing themselves.
Yeah, and which is embarrassing that it's the 21st movie.
Yeah,
know, but,
exactly.
Or whatever it is,
whatever
I think it's
number
21st.
It is, yeah, mm-hmm. I think it is 21st, though, because I think they always made a big deal about Infinity War being number 20.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I wanted to love it because I have felt like there's been an internet troll movement against this movie.
There has been, yeah. There's been people that have posted fake reviews about it everywhere.
Yeah. So I wanted to go in and be like, at least be like, that was the same quality as all Marvel movies, and people who are like hating on it are probably just being sexist. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I can truly say that, because for me it was for sure one of my least favorite Marvel movies, just as far as
lower on the totem
story
Marvel
goes, movie. But. Because I didn't enjoy the story. Like, I said on Letterboxd, I thought the screenplay was really bland. Not that the screenplays are ever, like, amazing and wow for Marvel movies, but just.
I think that was the complaint I had, too, because I called it uneven. And I felt like, because there were certain scenes that were great, and then then they'd be followed up again by a scene that was, like, not so great, where the screenplay or the acting even in it was kind of, like, subpar. And so I was just like, what? Oh, this is why I like this movie. Here's like to go from that like back and forth like that is not something you should feel unless the movie wants you to, and I could tell this movie did not want you to feel like that. They were very earnest in all of their output.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't enjoy the storytelling, like the way they ordered the events. I was like, the opening sequence, I was tired, and I was like, keep track of all these aliens and this mission they're going on, and I was just like, I have a hard time getting immediately invested in things like that when they give these, like, 5-minute explanations of, like,
here's the thing we're trying. There's a lot of exposition, yeah.
So much exposition. So I was sitting there being, like, envisioning a different version of the movie I would have liked more.
Yeah, like, I was doing a little bit of that, too, so you're not alone.
Okay, yeah. So I feel like if it had started maybe, like, when she crashes at the Blockbuster, and then maybe, I don't know, they wouldn't do this. It would be too risky, but it would make it almost this, like, Memento style, like her figuring out what's going on.
Yeah,
type of thing.
I think
like,
that might have been more effective personally. I mean, we won't get into too many details of the way the movie is structured for sake of like spoilers, because I also felt like I wasn't prepared for the structure of it as it was going in. I also was not familiar with Captain Marvel's backstory, so
no, neither was I.
If there was any reason I should have known that, like there probably was for having just read the comic, then I would have been a little bit more prepared, but yeah, I was like expecting it to be more full on origin story, where like in the back, like I could have pictured it being like a Memento style thing where she was trying to piece together her past, but
right, but whatever. It was safe. It was fun.
What did you think of the post credit sequence? Post one was kind of lame, but
yeah, the mid one didn't really do that much. It basically just connected a dot, right?
Right. For being, I mean, like, yeah, for people that didn't connect the dot, which who didn't? Because everyone looked up what that symbol meant as soon as that symbol was like pressed by Nick Fury.
And oh yeah, and like I'm not even like a super fan, and I knew
that was
going into this that pager that was like the pager for Captain Marvel. Right. So, yeah. So I mean, it's just the Avengers getting a hold of that and her showing up, which right. is like. We knew that was where it was headed, so...
Right. Not yeah. super special.
Right. And then the cat throwing up the thing was the post-credits scene.
Yeah, which I... That was just the most bizarre thing. I won't get into that, too. But just keep in mind, a cat does throw up something.
That's true, I guess.
Quite a bit.
I wasn't even trying to avoid spoilers. I just couldn't remember what it was called
in that okay. second. That's okay. By the time they realize what we're talking about, if they ever do listen to this and be like, oh... It'll be, like, more satisfying. It'll be like, rather That's than it true. Being, like, them looking for a weird spoiler because we didn't say what it was.
But anyone who cares enough about spoilers of, like, post-credit scenes has probably seen it by now anyway.
Yeah.
But is there anything you want to discuss enough with spoilers that we want to do, like, a spoiler section?
Not for this movie, no.
Okay. Maybe probably same.
Maybe another movie in the future, like, maybe with Us or something where...
Yeah, we could do, like, a spoiler section.
That mean Jordan Peele's if it's going to be anything like Get Out, then it'll have a big twist.
Right.
It's also got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with, like, 50 reviews, so...
Yeah, it does. You can
follow up with Get Out's footsteps with being, like, 99%.
I know. I think it's gonna do so well, like, just based on... I mean, echo chambers, sure, but, like, based on my just internet use and stuff, just seeing the way people react to it, I'm like, so many people are gonna see this movie.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be another... It's gonna be as much, if not more successful than Get Out. It's gonna be because for two reasons. Number one, this movie doesn't alienate white people as much as the first movie would.
That's true. It's not racially charged.
Because this, I mean, yeah, at least as far as we can tell, it's not racially charged.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's just a regular black family existing and then having this horrible thing happen to them, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And the music gets stuck in my head all the time.
I know.
That music is so
I'm creepy. Constantly singing that song, which might be totally famous, but I didn't know that song before
I wouldn't have known that trailer. Song before the trailer either.
Okay.
Yeah. But at the same time, yeah, that movie we can definitely do a spoiler episode of because there might be value in being able to discuss our theories that we had before the
movie
revealed or something.
I'm sure there will be a ton to unpack, and I cannot wait for it. To me, that seems like that's going to be the first, like, essential movie of the year. I don't feel we've had any yet.
Yeah, the only one that I can say that was, like, essential so far was Captain Marvel. And, like, in terms of people, like, needing to see it just for the sake of, like, memes and shit.
Yeah. But I'm talking even, like, quality-wise, though, just, like,
yeah.
essential, like, first... like, this is the best movie of the year. I haven't felt that strongly about anything yet.
The only one I felt that strongly about has been a Sundance one, which I loved, but also, I understand if it falls off the list at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But also a, but this Fighting With My Family movie, I loved it, like I said, so I highly recommend that one for anyone that wants to, like, have at least one good movie on their Letterboxd top 10.
Sure.
Or just their top 10 in general.
Yeah.
Of a year where it's not... some, like, not happy death day to you like mine would have been had it not been for these two other movies.
Right. And I haven't rated anything super low except for one Sundance movie, so, like, it hasn't been a bad year, but, I mean, it's the usual that you get in these months. It's, like, nothing...
Nothing special.
I think Get Out specifically made me, like, hope that we were moving past that, and
that movies would be spread out throughout the year.
Yeah, and just... I mean, Us is kind of the same thing. It's March, but, I mean, we're starting to approach... blockbuster season anyway, so mm-hmm.
when it gets warm like this, and the big blockbusters that we're expecting this summer are what we have, the new Avengers movie in April. We have what else?
There's a third Marvel. Spider-Man is in summer as well, and then a whole bunch of other Disney, Lion King.
Oh yeah,
the and Aladdin I think Aladdin is May. Movie. Jeez,
I forgot that they're both coming out super soon.
I'm pumped for the Elton John biopic.
I've heard it looks okay. I feel like it could ride on Bohemian Rhapsody's coattails a little too hard.
Is it... Am I crazy or did I hear it's the same director?
It shouldn't because that director's been like...
Goodbye.
...booed out of Hollywood.
Okay, then I must have misunderstood something.
Well, maybe... You may not have. He may have produced it. because a lot of times production is so easy to just slap someone's name on.
Yeah.
And especially if they're going to be able to slap the name produced by the same people that brought you Bohemian Rhapsody, which it could just mean this one guy that was on the team, even though he's not a part of it anymore.
Right. I have faith in it because Elton John himself is involved with it. Oh. And he's, like, given quotes saying he, like, wants the movie to tell his whole story, like, warts and all, basically. And that first teaser they put out, I just swoon over it every time it plays before a movie. It just looks good visually. I love the cinematography. And I, for some reason, I love Taron Egerton, even though I've never loved a movie that he's been in. But I think I just have a huge crush on him. That's probably the real answer.
I mean, yeah, this will be taking place in May of this year. Right. When this movie comes out. So, I mean, it's not, I can't tell if it's by the same people that did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Maybe it's not. I don't know why I saw overlap about that somewhere, but
probably just people comparing the two of them. Because they are very similar in feel about these epic biopictures of big, like, musical icons like Freddie Mercury and now Elton John.
Yeah.
So this one looks like it'll be distinctively more, I don't know, do you think this one will be rated R, or do you think they'll tone it down to PG-13?
I hope it's R. Just to address some of the real issues, but I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, but now that you ask, I feel like the trailers look pretty PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, especially again with Bohemian Rhapsody being behind us now, that movie being as huge as it was with PG-13 rating as well, because it basically was just a giant concert the whole time.
Plus, for an artist as big as Elton John, I feel like they're going to try and draw in the biggest crowd possible. Mm-hmm. I just hope it doesn't shy away from his gayness or from his addiction problems or anything like that for the sake of, like, making it feel
more palatable. Kid-friendly. Yeah, which is, like, if you don't want your kid to see a movie, then don't take your kid to see the movie.
Yeah, but just also marketing, though. Like,
yeah,
I think
it's true, because there's a whole bunch of people that would see an R-rated movie about even a celebrity that has any inkling, like, any, like, notion that they're gay, they're probably gonna be like, oh, it's rated R because there's probably a nude sex scene that I don't want to see that. Or it's rated R and it's gonna be like, and because of that, there's gonna be stuff in there I'm not gonna like.
Right. It is interesting, though, to have Bohemian Rhapsody and then this, two, like, 70s era artists with, you know, that are not straight.
I'm wondering if it'll have a similar round of, like, Oscar buzz for Taron Egerton as Rami Malek got, and then eventually won through.
I know, exactly.
I still can't believe he's an Oscar winner now. I always think of him as the grubby little dude from the Until Dawn game that ends up
being really?
A bad guy. Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't know that he was in that.
He and Hayden Panettiere are the biggest actors in there that, like, do the motion capture.
Really? Okay. I've only really seen him in Mr. Robot, which I've seen very little of.
And Mr. Robot, he's good.
And apparently Night at the Museum, but I don't remember that anymore, so.
Yeah. He's also in the movie The Master, as one of the...
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's...
That's exciting. I need to see that.
It's super good. It's on Netflix, I think, still. But he plays one of the, like, close members of the main leader of The Master, so to say.
Right.
Well, cool. I remember watching that and being like, oh, hey, Rami.
But yeah, I think those are the most major summer blockbusters.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I don't think it's a very crowded year this year in terms of big movies coming out. It's probably because Avengers is gonna be here again, and
there's the Godzilla one.
Oh, there's the Godzilla movie coming out, that's true. Which actually looked like it could be... I think it could be really good.
I haven't seen the first of that, like, reboot.
Haven't seen the original one?
That Godzilla, no. I saw Kong Skull Island, which is apparently...
In the same universe.
Same universe, but... Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see Godzilla. But I will, because I think this new one looks pretty good.
Godzilla was pretty good. I actually really enjoyed it. It's just a matter of... There was some definitely issues I had with it that I still have to this day in terms of, like, physics. But if you throw that out and just make it a fun game, a fun movie that you're just escaping through, and it has really beautiful, undeservedly beautiful visuals. And the same kind of visuals are being brought forward, I think, in this new movie that I'm kind of stoked for. I mean, it does look a little cheesy in the previews. But at the same time, if they just do it right, then it might end up being really good.
Yeah. Speaking of first teasers, because I mentioned that with the Elton John movie, I really liked the first teaser they put out for this movie. It was, like, it had this, like, Moonlight Sonata, like, score, but like big and boomy and electronic, and it was just really good. I like
for Godzilla.
Yeah, I like
that.
I have hopes
like,
for it.
I like that piece they use for the score actually a lot.
It's like, or it wasn't Moonlight Sonata. What's it called? Clair de Lune. Sorry, yeah, mixing up my classical pieces.
About the moon, because that one's about the moon.
Right, which makes
But just a one last thought. We wanted to make sure we couldn't go by it without mentioning this. The Game of Thrones season 8 trailer.
Oh, duh. We were going
to
talk about it.
We watched it right before what we recorded, and just wanted to be sure we brought that in here, because I know that we are not even going to toward the longest time we've ever done. We're even we're still about to end, and we're only like 30 minutes in, which is good, I guess, for you guys.
I think people will appreciate if we try and keep it to about this normally.
Yeah, I think we're going to try our best to be that way as much as we can. But, anyway.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones was, in honesty, the trailer looks really cool.
Yeah.
It underwhelmed me a little bit.
Okay.
Not a lot of, like, big ooh moments that I was that I wasn't expecting. But then again, I'm also, like, thinking to myself, how hard can I be on this game, or on this show, because we all kind of know, at least in terms of where it's going to start, but none of us know how it's going to end, really.
No.
In fact, not even the actors that were some of the first to find out how it ended, like, even the showrunners, David D.B. Weiss.
Nobody knew how it was going to end. They were just all showed up on set.
Well, no, I mean, they didn't know how it was going to end until, like, George R. R. Martin told them this ending of his version of the story, which then they're imagining in their own way slash probably staying fairly true to. But at the same time, that was one of the three things that he told them that shocked them, was the ending, Hodor's death, and Shireen's death.
Oh, I haven't heard of this bit of trivia. Okay.
And so yeah, the ending is the other, like, mind-blowing part. And so, like, Jon Snow's guy, Kit Harington, he also has said that in, like, interviews that it was, he just burst into tears as soon as he read the last line that he has, and, like immediately, like, just doesn't know how to process it, and, like, every guess that every person, including the cast, had as to how it would end was wrong.
I feel like there's no way it can live up to all of these,
I know,
like, things.
I think that it's going to be bad for itself to have so much hype behind it, because if it disappoints anyone, that disappointment's going to feel 10 times as strong.
Yeah. Watching that trailer, I was like, I cannot believe the sheer amount of, like, scale and popularity this show has reached. And
right. It's like, it's basically, like it's like our own version of a Marvel movie now.
It really is.
There's no one that I know that doesn't watch this show.
It has to be the most popular show in HBO's history, right?
Yeah.
So they've got to be shitting their pants, like, wondering if they're going to lose. They'll probably lose a ton of subscribers, I guess. Like,
it was also the most pirated show of all time. So,
oh. But right. Still, for people doing it the right way, I don't know. I feel like I know a lot of people who only get it for Game of Thrones. So.
No, I don't get it. I don't just do that.
Right. So, and, like, I feel like people thought for a while that Westworld would be their replacement for it, but there's no way.
Not nearly with the same amount of momentum that Game of Thrones has.
So, I guess the spinoffs, though, people will come back for that.
Right.
Which,
and
at least one is in development.
Or,
now.
If anything else, I think there's just been an overall notion of trust that people have put into HBO now, again. Because HBO put out a lot of stuff in the mid-2000s after Sopranos and West and The Wire and a bunch of those high-end, like, dramas and comedies that HBO was putting out that were just, like, really good, kind of started to all fade. And so, like, they had their own downtime, and then Game of Thrones came out in 2011. Wasn't extremely popular at first, but got more popular by season 3 is when it boomed.
Right.
Because that was when the Red Wedding happened and everything exploded. I think that was the biggest moment where people realized, oh, this is a serious show. Like, this show is not messing around.
Right.
And I think once that happened, the show has never looked back in terms of how popular it's gotten. Because ever since season 4, there have been references
just
to that show.
Just more and more and more.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, even beyond HBO, just culturally, what our next show like that will be like.
I think about that a lot. Like, because there's always, like, if there's a gap, there's always something that'll come back and fill it in.
Right.
Pop culture. We all need a big thing to unify us.
Because I would say it was probably Breaking Bad.
It was probably like the most unifying, like, show of the time, at that time, absolutely.
And then, like, I don't know. I don't know that Walking Dead quite reached that in its peak.
It reached it at its peak, I'd say. But
okay.
Not, but we were on our missions, I think, at the time that the peak was really happening. Because it came out in 2010, it rose to big prominence in 2011, 2012, and then kind of started to die back off again in 2013.
Right. So then Game of Thrones, but yeah, I don't know what else. Well, that's the thing, we don't know what it is. It doesn't exist yet, probably, but
yeah, because once the show is done, it's done. Like, they've confirmed they're never going to, like, they're not going to just, like, pull a fast one and extend it another season or something.
That'd be awful, so good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people would be so revolted at that if they ever tried to do that. And it would be clear that it was just a money grab. So, they're clearly smart enough not to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was our thoughts on the Game of Thrones Season 8 trailer. Look it up if you guys haven't. It looks pretty interesting.
It does.
I admit, like I said, underwhelmed slightly, but mostly just because they always do a huge, tremendous job with their trailers at HBO, and I feel like they just are banking on the fact that no one's not going to watch, and they're right, but no one's not going to watch the Game of Thrones ending season without a trailer. Like, if they had never released a trailer, people would still watch it.
Right, but it was just kind of... Clearly, they're trying to keep the plot under wraps as well, so it's just a bunch of generic kind of phrases.
Exactly, yeah, generic phrases, generic scenes... No characters, surprisingly, with another character that, or, like, no visible, like, wounds on any character or anything like that. So, like, there's nothing that makes it super compelling, in my opinion, just yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there
just
will be.
Type. Plenty. Yeah. Pure hype.
Cool. Well, then again, then thanks again. This was Male Gaze.
This was Male Gaze.
I'm Scott, and I had pink eye.
I'm Jake, and I didn't have pink eye.
And like I said, we hope that that will continue.
And we'll be back next week with...
Next week. Fresh
something.
Eyes, fresh ears, fresh mouths.
All the senses
will be refreshed. Hopefully. I'm just really dying over here, guys.
Okay. We're gonna let Scott
go to bed soon.
Go to bed. So bye.
Goodbye.